From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Come out of the shadows and into God's light. We will not play hide and seek, but will make a pilgrimage to God's heart. Lay down all which is a burden to you. We will give our fears to God, who is our help in every moment. Follow the one who will lead you to new life. We long to live in God's presence every day of our lives. Gracious God, we have come before you today to offer you the highest praises. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Every person in this room gathered here today belongs to you. We are your children. You have claimed us in our baptism. And we thank you, O God, and we give you the highest praise and glory and honor that is due your name. And we come before you now offering that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our anthem, Deck Thyself with Joy and Gladness, is performed by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir, directed by Phil Lewis.
Thank you.
Our epistle lesson from 1 John and the prayer for illumination is given by Alan Martinson.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, that we may discover the true riches of your word. May it judge the attitudes of our heart and enlighten us to the truth. Teach us to love in Christ and through Christ. Amen. The epistle lesson this morning comes to us from 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Listen for the word of God in the epistle lesson. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, and not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not wonder, brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. This ends the epistle lesson.
The sermon, entitled Go Fish, is by our minister, Reverend Andrew Lovins, and it's based on the New Testament lesson from Matthew 4.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As they went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Really, it all seems very simple, doesn't it? When Jesus calls those first disciples to follow him, he gives them a mission. He says, this is the outcome of following me. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You will learn how to fish for people." And of course, those of us who have grown up in the church, we've heard this before, and those of us who fished, we know that it's not as easy or simple as it appears. You can go out to the lake or to a pond, and if you don't have the right bait, you can be waiting for a very, very long time. And sometimes you're just not in the right spot. And so fishing requires patience, it requires creativity, it requires flexibility if you're going to be very effective and catch the number of fish that you want to fish. And I think that all of this is really behind what Jesus says in our text today, in his call to us, become my disciples, follow me, and I will teach you a thing. I will teach you how to do this. And the truth is, we do have the right bait already. We already have what people are looking for, what people want, what people need. It's one word, really: love. We already have that. John, in our epistle lesson, said that. He says, we know what love is. We know what it looks like. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. And we ought also to lay our lives down for each other. But there's a big difference between knowing about love and being able to identify love and actually demonstrating that love to other people. Heard about a mom this week who was on a Saturday morning making pancakes for her two boys, and she made delicious pancakes. But on this one Saturday morning, they were kind of rowdy. And as they were eager about eating the pancakes, they got into a little bit of a skirmish and began to tug and tussle with each other because each one wanted to be the first one in line to get the first pancake. And so it became rather violent in the kitchen on this Saturday morning. And finally, mom butts in and she says, "Hold on, boys, wait, wait, be patient." Then she sees an opportunity to press home a moral lesson. And she asks the question, "What do you think Jesus would say if he were here this morning?" And the two boys are silent. She says, "I know what he would say. He would say, 'I'm going to let my brother have the first pancake.'" Then the five-year-old looks at the three-year-old and says, "Ryan, you be Jesus." And that's how it is. Every town in Missouri today has a church in that town, and somewhere on the church sign it says, "Friendliest church in town," right? And I'm sure we could go to each church in Montauk County, and you could talk to those people, and the people inside of that church would say, "We have the most loving, gracious, friendliest people anywhere." But the question is, who actually validates those claims? Who gets to say, "Yeah, that's true," or "That's not so true"? Is it the insiders who get to say, "Yeah, that's true," or is it the outsiders? Who gets to say that the bait we're serving up is tasty and winsome and attractive? Is it the fisherman that gets to say, "Yeah, I've got the right bait," or is it the fish that gets to say, "Yeah, that's the right bait"? Interesting question, isn't it? Jesus says, "Come follow me and I will show you how to be fishers of men," how to catch people. And I think he means a couple things there. As I've reflected on it, I think that what Jesus is saying is, "I will teach you to be humble. I'll make you humble." In John's epistle lesson, he says, you can't go around all high on your horse. You can't go around all holier than thou. That's not going to work. You can't be all puffed up in your head about your spirituality. John says, look, right off the bat, he says, if you claim to be without sin, you're just lying to yourself. Everyone has sin. But if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to be merciful to you and to purify you from all unrighteousness. John says that when you're walking with Jesus, Jesus teaches you humility and you carry that humility with you in your heart. This summer I heard about a youth pastor who was taking his youth group to church camp. He got everyone on the church van, and the church van had a history of problems that always broke down everywhere they went. And so they get halfway to church camp, and guess what? Again, the church van breaks down. And so the youth pastor gets off, and he's tinkering around with the van to get it running again, and he's working on it, and something happens. Something slips, and he gets his hand injured. And when his hand is injured, this awful, horrible, foul word slips out of his mouth, and all of the kids hear it along with the parents. But promptly, the youth pastor apologizes. He says, "I'm very sorry for what I said." Well, there was a young man that was on that trip that week who had the reputation of being an agnostic, very rebellious, very much against the gospel of Jesus Christ, but his parents make him to go to church camp because they want him to get salvation. Well, he goes to church camp all week long, and to everyone's amazement, at the end of the week, he makes a decision to become a follower of Jesus, to be on the way with Jesus. Everyone is just floored by this. On the way home, the youth pastor has to know, what was it that persuaded you to become a follower of Jesus? Was it the pizza? Was it all the music? Was it the games? Was it the swimming? Was it the sermons? What was it? And the young man actually said, he said, "No, it's when you said that ugly, nasty word and then apologized for it. When I saw that you could say such a word and be a Christian who apologizes, then I thought, maybe I can be a Christian too." That's what humility does. When we're humble enough to admit our failures and our weaknesses and our sins, you know what it does? It frees everybody else up to be willing to admit their mistakes, their flaws, their weaknesses, and their sins. There's something about humility and confessing that is attractive to other people. Jesus says, "I will make you humble." Jesus also says, I think, "I will make you steady. I will make you steady." The truth is, as a church, if we're going to go around talking about all of this love and all of this grace and all of this mercy, in one breath we can't be communicating mercy and grace and then in the next breath get all shocked and offended when someone who is not part of our group says something or does something that is a little bit out of the norm or that doesn't sit well with our belief system or our behaviors. Sometimes I say to parents, if you're wondering why your kids never share secrets with you and why you never know what's going on in their life, maybe it's because sometimes we parents get a little bit apocalyptic when we find out something about our kid that we don't like. And if you're always blowing up and making mountains out of molehills, chances are your kids aren't going to share very much with you at all. We have to learn to be steady. The God who is merciful and gracious toward us is steady with His mercy, and we need to be steady toward the fish that we are trying to bring in to our boat. One of the greatest preachers who ever lived was a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was pastor of Metropolitan Church in London, England. And one day he gets a letter from an American man who's living in London who wants to make a large donation to Spurgeon's ministry. Well, Spurgeon, of course, is excited about this and wants to receive the gift. And so they arrange a time for Spurgeon with a couple of his deacons to go to this man's house to actually receive the gift. So they show up and the man welcomes them into his house and he takes them into a large sitting area, very beautiful, very ornate. And this American, wanting to be hospitable, comes to Spurgeon with his two deacons and he offers them some fine cigars. He opens up this humidor with these beautiful aromatic cigars. He says, "Take one." And of course, the deacons automatically show their disgust. How could you offer us such a thing? Don't you know who we are? We don't smoke. We're against tobacco. But then Spurgeon does something that just embarrasses them even further. Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, reaches in, plucks out one of the fine cigars, sticks the big long stogie in his mouth, lights it up, sucks it in, blows it out, and with a smile across his face, he goes, "Oh, how delicious." Well, you can imagine the conversation on the way home. The deacons are like, "How could you do that? You're our pastor, a Baptist preacher. You know how we feel about that sort of thing. How could you?" And Spurgeon says glibly, "Well, I thought one of us should act like a Christian. He was being steady. He understood that being a pastor, being a church, is not about being keepers of the aquarium, but it's about fishing for people, fishing for men, fishing for women. Sometimes in the church, we get it into our heads that it's our job to clean people up with our moral teachings and with the Ten Commandments and all of this stuff. And it's true, we need to speak the truth in love, but I can't clean anybody up. I can't even clean my own self up. No, it's the church's job, it's the pastor's job, it's your job to catch the fish. God cleans the fish through the Holy Spirit and via the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need to learn to be steady about that message. Steady with our kindness. Scripture says that it is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. The kindness of God. But there's something else. One of my favorite books when I was just a child was a book called The Velveteen Rabbit. And it's a book about toys in the nursery who dream and desire to one day become real through the love of a human child. And one day, the rabbit gets into a conversation with the skin horse, which is the oldest toy in the nursery, about what it might feel like and be like to actually become real through the touch, the love of a child. And this is the conversation that they have, and I just love how it goes. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" "Sometimes," said the skin horse. "But when you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become, and it takes a long time." That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. By the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. Such wisdom in that. And the truth is, you will never be your best self. You will never be your truest self. You'll never be your real until you decide to be on the way with Jesus and follow Him. What did Jesus say? He made a promise, right? He said, "Follow me and I will make you." I will make you. In the Greek it means, "I will create you and recreate you. I will form you. I will mold you." You see, this is not something that we do ourselves. It's something that is done to us. It's something that happens within us. Jesus said, it's your job to follow, and as you follow me, I will teach you how to fish for people. It was C.S. Lewis who said that the goal of every church and the goal of every Christian is to become a little Christ. A little Christ. It's our job to become little Christ and then to go out of here and to help other people to become little Christs who embody the love of God and show that love, not just say it, but show it to others. And he says, if that's not what the church is doing, making little Christs and becoming little Christs, he says, it doesn't matter how many sermons we hear or how many songs we sing or how many Bible studies we have. If we're not doing that, it's all in vain. And so today we need to hear the call of Jesus to us. He says, come after me. Follow me. He says, I will teach you. I will show you. how to fish for people. I will make you what I desire for you to be. I will make you. Heard about this guy the other day who was a fisherman. And he was astonishing everybody with his horrendous catch of fish. I mean, he was just hauling them in seemingly by the boatload. And so the game warden becomes just a little bit suspicious about his methods. And the game warden decides, I'm going to see what this guy's doing. So he puts on an outfit and pretends to be just an ordinary, normal angler. And he goes out in the boat with this guy to sort of, you know, pretend to be learning the ropes. So they're in the boat together. And the warden is very suspicious because this guy gets out there. He doesn't even have a fishing pole. There's no net. And then the guy has this rusty old tackle box. But when he opens the tackle box, there are no lures. There are no worms. There are just matches and sticks of dynamite. And the guy lights one of the sticks of dynamite, and the fisherman throws it into the water, and boom! And all of these fish float to the top of the water. Well, when the game warden sees this, he takes out his badge and he says, "You're under arrest!" And so the fisherman takes another stick of dynamite, lights it, throws it to the game warden, and he says, "You just going to sit there or are you going to fish?" I think Jesus has been asking that question of the church for a long time. It's one thing to kind of sit around and read Field and Stream magazine, right? And dream about fishing and talk about fishing and discuss different lures and baits and methods and tactics. And it's quite another thing to actually get out there and do it. The good news is we don't have to do it on our own, because Jesus gave us a promise. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for love and truth. Help us to be humble and steady and real. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.